worship the Lord. We pray the introit found on your bulletin insert. Hear my cry, O God. For you have been my refuge. For you, O God, have heard my vows. Prolong the life of the king. May he be enthroned forever before God. So will I ever sing praises to your name. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Hear my cry, O God. The first reading for the seventh Sunday of Easter is taken from Acts chapter 1. The apostles returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath's day journey away. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. All these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus and his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the brothers. The company of persons was in all about 120. And he said, "Brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in this ministry. Now this man bought a field with the reward of his wickedness, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his bowels gushed out. And it became known to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the field was called in their own language, Akeldama, that is, field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, 'May his camp become desolate, and let there be no one to dwell in it. And let another take his office.' So one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these men must become with us a witness to his resurrection. And they put forward two, Joseph, called Barabbas, who was also called Justice, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, "You, Lord, who know the hearts of all, who show which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in the ministry and apostleship, from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place." And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us. The epistle lesson is taken from Revelation chapter 22. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. They will need no light or lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. And he said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent his angel to show his servants what must soon take place. And behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed them to me. But he said to me, 'You must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers, the prophets, and with those who keep the word of this book. Worship God.' And he said to me, 'Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Let the evildoer still do evil, and the filthy still be filthy, and the righteous still do right, and the holy still be holy. Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me, to repay everyone for what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life, and that they may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs and sorcerers, and the sexually immoral, and murderers and idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright and morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come,' and let the one who hears say, 'Come.' And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take water of life without price. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 17th chapter. Jesus said, "I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and will continue to make known that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us. In the name of our Lord Jesus, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Today, we have come to the last Sunday of the Easter season. Next week begins Pentecost, and this last Thursday was the Feast of the Ascension. On the Feast of the Ascension, we celebrate the final event in what is often called Jesus' earthly ministry. Although, if we wanted to be more precise with our words, as we saw in our Acts reading this morning, that the ministry of the church today is still Jesus' earthly ministry. Nonetheless, the Ascension bookends Christmas. On Christmas, we celebrate that our Lord Jesus Christ assumed human flesh and descended to earth to begin his mighty work of redemption. In the Ascension, we see that he has not only descended to take on our sinful nature, but that he has also ascended in the flesh with divine majesty above the heavens of the heavens, to sit at the right hand of God the Father. Now, when we speak about Jesus' redemptive work, we often focus on the cross. And there is nothing wrong with that. The cross is the central event within Jesus' one redemptive work. However, his redemptive work did not end when he hung on the cross, nor did it end when he was raised from the dead. Without his ascension to the right hand of majesty, the story is incomplete. Our gospel text this morning reads, Jesus prays, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. How is it that we all, the many of us, can be united with Christ's one body, that we might all be in him? How is it that our humanity might be taken into Christ's humanity, so that we can be united with the Father, so that the Father might be with us as he is with Christ? How is it that the glory bestowed upon Christ's resurrected body might also be bestowed upon us, so that we might share in his resurrection? It all comes through the ascension of Jesus' flesh and blood, through the ascension of his body to the right hand of majesty. Now, the devil, because he was a prideful creature, rebelled against God, seeking to take his throne. Yet because Satan was a liar, a murderer, and a coward from the beginning, he did not oppose God directly. He knew that that was a battle he could not win. Instead, he turned his malice against the crown of God's creation. He turned his malice and wicked intent upon us. Being a worshiper of his own power, he despised the weakness of man, a creature wholly dependent on the love of his Creator to sustain him, bodily and spiritually. With hatred for our weakness, he lied and planted the seed of sin in the hearts of our first parents, and they too, all too easily raised the standard of rebellion against God. Seeking to be like God, they became slaves to sin. They sought to throw off the yoke of life himself and became subjects of death. Whether death comes by a novel virus like coronavirus or by old age, all people die. They who were created holy and righteous fell under the condemnation of God's holy and righteous law. Adam and Eve and all of humanity fell with them, fell into subjection to sin, death, and the devil. And you guys all know the next part of the story, that God, instead of descending from on high with might to crush the head of the serpent and consume us with his righteousness, instead comes not in wrath, but in weakness. For us men and for our salvation, the Heavenly Father sent His eternal Son, Jesus Christ, to be born of the Virgin Mary. The Lord Jesus assumed human flesh with all its weakness and with all its frailty. It's poetic. The devil tried to overcome God in the garden by the weakness of man. Now God has overcome the devil through the weakness of man. Jesus took upon Himself the sins of the world and bore them in His own flesh, so that He might become sin like us, for us. And we have heard again and again this Easter season that He went to the cross where the devil and his minions did their worst and tried to destroy Him. Yet on the third day He rose again victorious, defeating death once and for all. Through His weakness, through His death, through His resurrection, Jesus has saved us from our bondage, so that all creation rightly shouts for joy. In our frailty, we could not overcome the strong man, the strong man who held us captive. But Christ, in His frailty, in our flesh that we share with Him, has defeated sin, death, and the devil. They lie in ruins at His feet. But there is more to the story. Luke tells us that after Jesus had said to His right before His ascension, Jesus said to His disciples that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in the name to all nations. Jesus, then, was carried up into heaven, and they worshipped Him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. To this, Mark adds, He was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. The ascension is Jesus' triumphal procession into heaven. It is His enthronement. But it is not only that. What does it mean when we say that Jesus was taken to be seated at the right hand of God? In the ascension, Jesus' humanity is glorified. In it, we see Jesus who, with respect to His humanity, as the Apostle Paul says, was for a little while made lower than the angels, but now crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death. In the ascension, we see what the prophet Daniel foresaw. Behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like the Son of Man, and He came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before Him. And to Him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve Him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away. The ascension is the glorification and enthronement of Christ's human nature, so that Jesus wields the scepter of universal empire, not just according to His divinity, but also through His humanity. As the Apostle Paul says, God has highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Note that every knee shall bow, in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. The devil, who was a worshiper of his own power and despised the weakness of man, has now been overcome by man. And now, because of the ascension, the devil and his minions must kneel before the Lord Jesus and confess that He is Lord. Christ did not ascend to the right hand of the Father for His sake either. He ascended to the right hand of God for your sake. Jesus, the second Adam, is the substitute and forerunner of the entire human race. The conquering King does not leave you behind. We, by our rebellion and sin, became subjects to the devil and lived in his kingdom of death. As the crown of God's creation, we were the devil's greatest plunder in his war against God. Our slavery, the devil's greatest treasure. But Christ has pillaged the kingdom of the devil, and you are his spoils. And he glorifies and exalts you. Thus the psalmist cries out for joy. You ascend on high, leading a host of captives in your train. This is why the Lord Jesus says to his disciples, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Christ ascended into heaven in his body so that we could be baptized into his body, so that we could be united with his body. In baptism, we are taken into Christ's own body and life, the church, and through faith, we cling to our King. Now, our mystical union with Christ is a mystery, but nonetheless, it is also a fleshly reality. You are made a child of God and united with Christ in his death, in his resurrection, and also in his ascension. You too, dear Christian, are seated upon the heavenly throne. In the ascension, you are glorified with Jesus. The Apostle Paul says, God being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Just as certainly as no sin can harm Christ, or law accuse him, or death swallow him up again, you are freed from their prison and will be brought up to heavenly life. What glorious hope we have in the ascension of our Lord Jesus. Now, many have misunderstood the ascension. It is taught in many churches that when Jesus ascended to the right hand of the Father, that when he was glorified and enthroned, his humanity ceased to be earthly present. They say that Jesus is now circumscribed in heaven, that he is locally enthroned at the right hand of God, and thus must be an absentee king, because he can't leave until the second coming. They say a human body can't be in two places at once, and thus his body is locked in heaven at the right hand of God. This is why many churches teach that the Lord's Supper must merely be a symbol, contrary to Christ's own words. This is my body and this is my blood. They say that this cannot be Christ's body, this cannot be his blood, because his body is sitting at the right hand of God. This false doctrine, that Christ is locally present and bound at the right hand of God, makes Christ a liar. Not only when he says, this is my body and this is my blood, but when he says before his ascension, behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. The Apostle Paul testifies that Jesus did not ascend so that he would be bound, but the exact opposite. Paul says, he who descended in the incarnation is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, so that he might fill all things. According to his divine nature, Jesus already filled all things. But now in his glorified human nature, he also fills the earth. This doctrine that Christ is bound at the right hand of God is the doctrine of demons, meant to steal away Christ from you. It is meant to make you doubt Christ's words when he says, this is my body and this is my blood given and shed for you, for the forgiveness of sins. It is meant to turn us into ourselves for assurance of our salvation. It is meant to strip the objectivity of Christ's gift to you in the supper. So what then do the scriptures mean when they say that Christ ascended to the right hand of God? Is it referring to a specific location where Christ is physically seated? No, it is not. Does God the Father have a physical right hand that is present in one place but not another? No, he does not. That would deny God's basic attributes of simplicity and omnipresent. God is present everywhere, and wherever he is present, he is fully present. When physical descriptions are applied to God the Father, we must understand that they are metaphorical. When the scripture says that the earth is his footstool and the heavens his throne, We understand that this does not mean that God has extremely massive feet that cover the whole earth, or an extremely large tuchus that fills up the entire heavens, right? It is a metaphor for his divine rule over all things. What then is the right hand of God? Well, we see that when God leads his people out of bondage in Egypt, he does it by his right hand. Again and again throughout the Psalms and throughout the Old Testament, we see that the right hand of God is wherever the Lord acts in power to save his people. The right hand of God is wherever the Lord acts in power to save his people. To say that Jesus is seated at the right hand of God means that Jesus is present, both in his divinity and humanity, wherever God acts in power to save. Wherever the word of God is read or preached, there is Christ the King, standing in the midst of his people, teaching them, commanding them, calling them, proclaiming the victory that he has won. Wherever someone is baptized, there is Christ himself receiving them into his body. Wherever receiving them into his death, his resurrection, and his ascension. Excuse me. Wherever the Lord's Supper is celebrated, there is Christ in his very body and blood, given for you for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus was born for you. He lived for you. He died for you. He was raised for you. And he has now ascended to the right hand of the Father for you. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. And he has ascended to the right hand of the Father. And he is with you in his flesh to the end of the age. And he will raise you in your flesh on the last day. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to God and to the Lamb forever. Amen. The ushers may receive the offering. Let us pray. O righteous Father, your Son obeyed your holy will for the sake of our salvation. Through your Spirit, give your church and earth on earth a unity of faith, that the world may know that you sent your Son to rescue us from sin, death, and the power of the devil. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, you have instituted holy baptism as a saving flood, a washing of rebirth and renewal. Grant that many would be washed in the river that flows from the heavenly city and be brought through her gates into the communion of your church. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of the church, you have sustained your people through the ages by the apostles' witness to the death and resurrection of your Son. Raise up from among us faithful pastors in every age. Keep our missionaries, pastors, and overseas faithful to you in all things. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, you have placed us in communities and families where we are nurtured and grow in the knowledge of the world and love for our neighbors. As many of our students celebrate graduation, the moving from one phase of life to another, we pray that you would keep them and preserve them in your word and faith. May we be faithful teachers of the word to our children and those not yet of the kingdom. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Lord, we thank you for the many blessings you have bestowed upon this nation. Grant us a long memory to recall those who gave the full measure of devotion to the country, peace and security. Bring to mind this Memorial Day the sacrifices of those who served faithfully unto death in the protection of our freedom and in the defense of our land. Lord, in your mercy. Eternal Lord, you have seated Christ at your right hand for our deliverance. Remember all who are afflicted with illness and injury or any other kind of need, including Karen, Adam, Harold, Esther, Jim, Aubrey, Sean, Austin, Thomas, the Reverend David and Barbara, his wife, Barbara, Charlotte, Mia, Wanda, Kenny, Patricia. Give them health and strength according to your will. Sustain them in faith, knowing that for Jesus' sake you will raise them in glory on the last day. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful God, we pray you and remember the faithful who went before us and now rest from their labors. Grant that we may follow in faith where they have led the way and at length be brought with them into your everlasting life and to see you face to face. Lord, in your mercy. All these things and whatever else you know and we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. O Lord, our heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, who has safely brought us to the beginning of this day, defend us in the same with thy mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings being ordered by thy governance may be righteous in thy sight. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord,
who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Bless we the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all.
So you have, excuse me, you may have noticed a little bit that I'm feeling a little under the weather this morning. So I have a bit of a fever and my voice is a bit weaker than usual. Thank you all for being here this morning. I will not be greeting you after the service today because I want to share the glorious news of the Ascension with you, but not necessarily any germs with you. So if you need to talk to me about anything, feel free to call me, of course. My number is in the bulletin. But I will not be greeting you at the back of the sanctuary this morning because you don't need everyone getting sick. We have VBS coming up, which is very exciting. I'm looking forward to it. I am in charge of running the games. So I always enjoy doing games at VBS because I'm not the most athletic sort. So the only time I can actually win in any sort of sports is when I'm playing against little kids. And so it makes me feel a lot better about myself, right? I can actually win something. So there is a sign-up sheet for snacks by the kitchen. So if you are interested in providing any snacks for VBS, please go over and sign up for that. And also, any monetary donations would be more than welcomed so that we can supply, buy the craft supplies and those sorts of things for VBS. It'll be very fun. Once again, the congregation is invited to celebrate Chris's graduation. Details are in your bulletin. And the Orphan Grain Train will be holding an open house. If you would like to learn about their operation and that sort of thing, that is on Sunday, June 19th, between 11:30 and 2. And the address also is in the bulletin. And one more thing, I have a couple gifts for the confirmands if I didn't give it to you already. So Callie already gave you yours, but Owen and Caden, if you could come to the back afterwards to get your gift. Okay, depart in peace.